Hello and welcome to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host. I'm glad you've joined us today. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features the ministry of Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today we have a message that Pastor Phipps has chosen to present, and we will have an item of music which will be inspiring and will be a blessing, I am sure. Today's title, One Heart. We're going to get into the message in just a little bit, but before that, here is some music. Music from the Power of a Dream CD released by Wintley Phipps. The song is entitled, Whisper Your Name.
Feels like forever since you've been gone. I knew you had to go away, and you would be preparing a place for your own. And though you're gone, I still don't feel alone. 'Cause the moment I whisper your name, there's a peace that I cannot explain. Lord, I'd love to share my whole life with you. You touch my empty spirit, hold me in your arms and dry my tears. You take away all my sadness, you heal all my pain. A light within my soul shines bright again.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host for today's program. We just heard music by Wintley Phipps. Whisper Your Name is the title of the song, and that's from the CD release, The Power of a Dream. We're going to get now to the message that Pastor Phipps has to present to us today. The title, One Heart. This is message number 269 in our series, and at the end of our message, I will let you know how you may obtain an audio copy of today's message if you so desire. But now here is Pastor Phipps with today's sermon.
The book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 and 33. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Before Jesus ascended into glory, he said to his disciples, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And so they did as the Lord had commanded. They tarried in the upper room and petitioned God to forgive their sins. And when they were all with one accord and in one place, the Bible says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven. It sounded like a mighty wind. Church, it was when they were all together and in one accord that the power of God's Spirit began to rain down in their midst. They looked up and saw over each other's heads what seemed like small tongues flaming like fire. And suddenly everyone in that room was filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were able to speak in other languages, or what the Bible calls other tongues. Church, I believe when the anointing of God falls upon you, the Spirit of God gives you powers and abilities that are beyond what can be explained in the natural. That day the anointing of God fell, and the early church was prepared to face a distrustful and skeptical world with the announcement that Jesus Christ of Nazareth had risen. The Holy Spirit so saturated Peter and John at Pentecost that many days and months later, their faces still shone with the charisma of the Holy Spirit. This was an unusual time of blessing and unity in the early church. Acts 2:46 says, "And they," and if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, Acts 2, verse 46. It says, "And they, continuing daily," how often? "Daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." You see, when the Holy Spirit falls upon the church, when the Holy Spirit falls upon a church, you love each other so much that you find you can't get enough of each other. There's nothing more wonderful, you see, than spending time with someone who is in love with Jesus. No time spent with Jesus is ever wasted. The Bible says, daily, with one accord, in the temple. Now that means they went to church with each other every day. Are you with me today? Some of us can barely hang once a week with each other. Here they went to church every day. And when they had finished praying and singing with each other, they went on from house to house. Have mercy, Lord. Sharing meals with one another with what the Bible says, one mind and one heart. Oh, what a time it was. There was a lot of power flowing through the early church. One day about the ninth hour when Peter and John were headed to the temple, still full of power, they saw a man at the temple gate who had been a cripple for over 40 years. From his birth, he longed to walk. For months, he pleaded with his friends, "Take me to Jesus." His friends complained that their schedules were busy. His request was inconvenient. And finally, one day, because of his importunity and his persistence, his friends placed his mangled body on a pallet and carried him up to the city of Jerusalem. He arrived in the city, face flush with hope, but nothing could have prepared that poor crippled man for the disappointment he was about to face. When he inquired of the whereabouts of Jesus, he was informed that he had come just a few days too late. A few days ago, they said, an angry mob condemned Jesus to die, and a Roman garrison nailed him to a cross. That poor paralyzed man, his hope of healing gone, his soul reeling from a great disappointment, asked his friends to take him to the temple gate where he could sit and beg for alms. And this day, as he sat in the shade of the Middle Eastern sun, Peter and John were passing by. Their faces were shining. They looked ecstatic. You see, Peter and John were just coming off of 40 days of revival with Jesus. Did you know that before he left the earth, Jesus preached a revival for 40 days after his resurrection? You see, when the Roman soldiers told the people that his disciples had stolen his body, Jesus raised up witnesses to testify that he had risen. But he also, servant of God said, after his resurrection, spent 40 days teaching them, causing them joy with gladness of heart. He opened to them the realities of the kingdom of God for 40 days. 40 days of revival and training. Oh, have mercy. From one who had risen from the dead, you'd be on fire too. If for 40 days you were taught by a resurrected Savior, the Bible says he then commissioned them to bear testimony to the things which they had seen and heard and concerning his sufferings and his death. Church, for 40 days, the risen Christ preached the gospel of salvation to those who would be commissioned to take it to the first generation of believers. And as he preached, servant of the Lord says that his anxious followers, the disciples, gladly listened to his teachings, eagerly feasting on every word which fell from his holy lips. And now they were certain that he was the Savior of the world. What a revival that must have been. Not only did his words sink deep into their hearts during those 40 days, not only were they imbued with power from on high, the servant of the Lord during those 40 days said that Jesus, during those 40 days, are you listening to me today? During those 40 days, Jesus endowed his disciples with power to work miracles. So here they were, Peter and John, fresh from their seminar on how believers perform miracles in the name of Jesus. And not only were they on fire from their Pentecostal experience, but they were still on fire from those 40 days of, of seminar teachings from Jesus. That poor crippled man didn't know it, but he was on a collision course with two men who were anxious to demonstrate the lessons they had learned from Jesus. And as Peter and John walked into his presence, the crippled man began to solicit a donation, alms for the poor. Peter looked at that crippled man and said, "Brother, look this way. Have mercy." The man lifted up his eyes from staring at his copper vessel, and for a brief moment, he stopped rattling the few coins still left in his cup. He heard the voice of Peter say to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I learned in Jesus' school, I'm about to give you." Somebody, you've heard that saying, "Well, all I learned in life, I learned in kindergarten." He said, "What I learned in Jesus' school, I'm about to give you." When we meet each other, brothers and sisters, our lives ought to say, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I learned in Jesus' school, I'm going to give you. I learned about kindness in Jesus' school. I learned about love and grace. Give me a hand," said Peter, "in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And church, that crippled man looked into the eyes of Peter, and somehow he knew this was his day. Amen. You know, there's something inside of you that will tell you, when this is your day, there's something inside of you that will tell you, this is your moment to receive healing and deliverance. Now, let me talk to people. Let me talk to some of you who struggled with a sinful habit for years, maybe decades. I'm a firm believer that God doesn't wean his children from habits of sin. He is not a Nicotrol kind of God. Are you listening to me? I'm a firm believer. God doesn't wean. Just take you off of sin just a little bit at a time. When God touches your life with his healing power, there's something immediate about what takes place in your body and in your brain. And so if you're not free, it's because you haven't yet been touched by this wondrous power. You've been playing with power. But if you're not free, it's because you haven't been touched. When God touches your life, something snaps in your brain. Puts it all together. And you know from that day forward that because of Jesus, a change is, Tremaine used to sing, "A wonderful change has come over me." When Jesus touches you, he'll take that appetite away right away. And believe me, you'll know the moment that that weakness in your life becomes finally manageable. Woo, are you listening to me? You will know that moment in your life when that thing you've struggled with all your life finally becomes manageable. Now, you'll still be tempted, but when Jesus touches you, victory comes a lot easier. That's how you know you've been touched. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be tempted. It's just that victory comes a little easier. You'll still be drawn to that sin that so easily besets you, but after you've touched by the power of God, you'll feel strangely empowered. The things you used to do, you don't want to do anymore. Oh, are you with me today? Amen. That same Jesus gave Peter power to grant healing in his name. And that paralyzed man took the hand of Peter. And the moment he touched Peter's hand, he felt the power of God's Holy Spirit flowing through his body. You see, Peter was so filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible said the people used to bring the sick into the streets and lay them on beds and couches in the streets so that as Peter walked by, they would be healed just from the shadow of Peter walking by. I heard somebody call it shadow power. Imagine being so filled with the Holy Ghost that there's power in your shadow. Outside the temple, Peter lifted that man to his feet. He stood up, began walking, leaping, and praising. And when the word got out, Peter is healing people, a crowd started forming. When the word got out, Peter is healing people in Jesus' name. You know, it's hard to keep good news locked up long. The priests heard the news, but they were perplexed. They were mystified. Let me tell you why. You see, they just knew that when Jesus died, all his miracles would die with him. And so are you with me? So they couldn't understand why, if he's dead, there's still miracle working power going on. Those priests thought that when he died, they would die with him. They just didn't know that my Jesus has authority over every cosmic jurisdiction. Call on me from wherever you are, and I will answer. One day, a Roman centurion servant was sick, sent the elders to ask Jesus if he would come. The elders said, "Jesus, please hurry, come. He's a good man. He loves our nation, even built us a church." Centurion sent his friends to Jesus saying, "Trouble not yourself. I'm not worthy. Jesus, just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know you're so powerful, Jesus, you don't even have to be in the neighborhood to heal me." I love the way the centurion said. He said, "Tell Jesus that I understand authority. I'm also a man under authority. I have soldiers. I say to one, come, and he comes. I say to go, and he goes. All you got to do, Jesus, speak the word, and healing power will flow from where you are." Jesus said, "I have not found so great a faith in Israel." Now, church, as I prepared for this message this morning, I asked myself, why is it that we as a church don't have more of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit like they did in the early church? Why do we not have more of the Holy Spirit? The simple answer is because we do not abide in Christ. Listen to what the servant of God says. "Let all who claim to keep the commandments of God look well to this matter and see if there are not reasons why they do not have more of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit." You want to hear why? I said, do you want to hear why? Because too many of us, she says, have lifted up our souls unto vanity. Have mercy, Lord. You worrying too much about how you look. Spend more time looking at yourself than looking at Jesus. Huh? And she says, they think themselves exalted in the favor of God, but they neglect the needy. You want to know why we don't have the Spirit of God? We neglect the needy. We turn a deaf ear to the calls of people who are oppressed. And here's why we don't have the Holy Spirit in the church, she says. We speak sharp, cutting words to those who need altogether different treatment. And in so doing, we offend God daily by our hard hearts. We don't have the Holy Spirit because our hearts are hard. Listen to what she says. Christ has identified his interest with that of suffering humanity. And while he is neglected in the person of his afflicted ones, you got to listen. Listen to me today. Christ has identified his interest with that of suffering humanity. And while he is neglected in the person of his afflicted ones, all our assemblies, all our church services, all our appointed meetings, all the machinery we set up to operate will not advance the cause of God. Woo, are you listening to me today? All who are to be saints in heaven must be saints on earth. She said, as a people, we do not have the outpouring of his spirit as we ought. We don't have his spirit. But I go back to Acts 4, 31. And when they had prayed, hallelujah, wake up, church. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. And verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. We do not have the Spirit of God being poured out in our midst because as a church, we are not of one heart. One of the evidences that the Holy Spirit is being poured out is that as a church, we are of one heart. One of the evidences and one of the prerequisites of receiving the Spirit is what I have started calling the one heart phenomenon. God wants to bless his people with power, but before he blesses his people with power, he checks to see if we are of one heart. So consequently, as a church, we are going nowhere until we figure out how to be of one heart.
Well, that brings us to the end of our program for today. But before we end completely, I'd like to let you know that you may obtain an audio copy of today's message by calling the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Please reference program number 269 today. That's program number 269, and that will give you the title we heard today, One Heart. Well, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I'd like to wish you God's richest blessings, and I hope you'll join us again for another program. And I hope you'll remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.